This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, I guess we're going to continue our tradition. Another special guest today.
Yes, Greg, this is one I have been looking forward to for a while now, since August, to be exact. Our guest today hails from Singapore, District 80, but presently he is joining us from New Delhi, India, where it's almost midnight in that part of the world. This gentleman, as I shared with him before we started recording, is a champion in more ways than one for being willing to record with us at that late hour. The guest is none other than the 2016 world champion of public speaking, Darren Tay. Darren, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Hi, Greg. Hi, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us, Darren. To get us started, I would love to meet the man behind the trophy. So can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? I know you joined Toastmasters in 2009. Why did you decide to join, and what were you doing at that time? Give us a look at who is Darren Tay.
Sure. I joined Toastmasters sometime in the year 2009, and I joined while I was serving the nation, because in Singapore, all males would have to serve the nation, national service, for 1 year, 10 months to 2 years. At that point in time, I was still serving the nation during that 1 year, 10 months period. And I thought, what better way to make use of my time than to join a Toastmasters movement and to hone my effective communication skills. In fact, it wasn't just about standing in front of a crowd and then practicing my public speaking skills. More importantly, it was to hone my interpersonal communication skills. How to walk up to a stranger, exchange pleasantries, sustain a conversation, and after which exchange contact details. So that's the valuable skill that I wanted to acquire at that point in time.
Was that something that you struggled with, Darren, or was it a skill that you wanted to just take to another level of effectiveness, perhaps for your career or for your social life? Tell us a little bit of the story behind that.
Sure. In fact, to be quite honest, at that point in time, I was considered a shy individual offstage. So on stage, I would be comfortable speaking, I'd be quite confident given my prior debate and public speaking training in high school and in college. But when it came to meeting up with someone that I've not met before and how to start a conversation and sustain a conversation, I found that to be quite a difficult undertaking. So I joined Toastmasters, not with a very competent set of interpersonal communication skills already, but I would say starting from close to zero and then building up those interpersonal communication competencies.
But you were in law school. Wouldn't you need to have those skills already?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's absolute a zero, but the National University of Singapore, we do have a component called class participation. Although admittedly, that class participation component is not a huge component in the grand scheme of things. So there was still a great weightage on, say, the academic side of our law studies. And that's why I think that is one area that we are still lacking. And I thought of honing my interpersonal communication skills, notwithstanding the fact that I was in law school.
Right. How did you end up getting involved on the competition side of the Toastmasters experience?
I was encouraged by my mentor, who told me that if you wish to take your public speaking experience to a next level, you might wish to consider taking part in a contest, because it's really in the contest arena where people take things a bit more seriously. And they tend to practice and rehearse their speeches even more. Also to take the opportunity to learn from some of the more proficient speakers. So I thought this is a perfect opportunity. Although I must admit it was quite a daunting task for me. I've not been in the speaking circuit for quite some time since I was serving the nation. So it's at least a good 1 year plus out of action.
When did you finally start your competition journey?
I started my competition journey with the International Speech and Table Topics Contest. I remembered that I wasn't placed at the division level. I did not get past the division level in my first try for the International Speech and Table Topics. It should be sometime in the year 2009. For the club contest, it would have to be sometime in February or March. After which I took part in the Humorous and Evaluation Speech Contest, and I've been taking part in the Toastmasters Speech Contest ever since I started, save for that 1 year when I was serving as a district officer, as an area governor, as it was then called.
Prior to this year, how far did you get in the international speech contest?
The furthest I went, I recall it was at the division level. So this would be my first time going all the way to the semifinals and then eventually winning at the grand finals.
I noticed that you had two different speeches. Did you find it difficult to determine which one you wanted to use first?
To decide which one I would like to use first, I think that was still a fairly easy decision to make because I chose the stronger speech of the two to deliver at the district, the division, and the semifinals level. And for the grand finals, because at that point in time, it was really to get through the semifinals and then earn a spot in the grand finals. So I placed my best sort of ammunition and had crafted a solid speech and made that speech at the semifinals. So for the grand finals, I wouldn't say that it's better than semifinals. In fact, if I were to think about it, the semifinals speech would be better than the grand finals one.
How did you come up with your idea for the final speech?
For the final speech, my mentor Ed Tate, a year 2000 world champion of public speaking, we were in fact discussing what are some of the themes, what are some of the stories I can share and value add to the audience members. And I was thinking really deep, you know, based on my repertoire of personal anecdotes, personal stories, I was thinking really hard which one touches me the most, which one is something that I really want to share with the audience members, regardless of whether I win or lose at the end of the day. And I thought, hey, dealing with bullies, but not just an external bully per se, but also with internal bullies as well, like the negative thoughts, the inner struggle, saying that I can never do it, I'm not good enough. So these were some of the things that I felt the audience members, they might have encountered one or two of these instances before, maybe more than just one or two.
I know for me, I never really expected that. When you were talking about bullying, and I mean, bullying is a big topic everywhere. And ironically, my name is Greg, but I was at the other end. I was the one that was actually bullied when I was younger. But I never really thought of the inner bully being sometimes as powerful or even more powerful than an external bully.
Yep. Because for an external bully, it's possible, arguably, to run away from, like what I did, to change to a new school. But when it came to an internal bully or an inner bully, it was extremely difficult because we can't really run away from an inner bully. But I learned over the years through mindfulness practice that the best way to deal with negative thoughts is not to try and stop the thought, because the more you try and stop or resist it, it sticks. The best way to deal with it is to simply acknowledge its presence and then very gently go back to the object of focus. So what I do is like simply saying, oh, okay, that's anxiety. Okay. That's negativity. And then quickly, gently move back to the object of focus. Instead of identifying with it, saying, I am anxious. I'm feeling lousy right now. So I never use the I am, just simply, oh, okay, that's lousy. And then quickly move on to my object of focus. And if you do that consistently, having that kind of non-judgmental attitude, you'll find that for 10 minutes per day, after 1 month, you would see a significant change in your life.
Wow.
That sounds to me, Darren, like similar language from a meditation practice. Is there any connection there?
Yes, it's called mindfulness practice. In fact, mindfulness practice is gaining traction, not just in Singapore, Southeast Asia, but also in America as well, where I heard in New York, in Manhattan, there are offices where they will have employees congregate and then they will meditate together. It does not require you to chant anything. You need not say certain things. All you have to do is to focus on the physical sensation of your body. Do simple techniques like noting and having a non-judgmental attitude towards these negative thoughts.
Darren, why don't you share with our audience and with us, if you would, for those who haven't had the pleasure of seeing your speech, your finals speech, and Greg and I were both actually watching it through the live stream as you were competing and winning. But could you share maybe just flesh out a little bit more of the theme of the speech?
Sure. The title of the speech, it's Outsmart, Outlast. So essentially, I wanted to share with the audience members how to outsmart and outlast their inner bullies. I started with an external bully. So not all of the audience members would have encountered an external bully. Some are very blessed not to have encountered any bullies before, but those who have encountered, they would be able to feel and stay connected with my personal encounter with this bully by the name of Greg Umberfield, who tormented me when I was in high school, and after which, well, my way of dealing with it was to change to another school. But then slowly, when I grew older, that bully morphed from an external into an internal or an inner bully, where I could not run away from it. And the best way to deal with it, I realized, through the words of Greg himself, whom I found out to be a counselor, counseling teenagers, helping them combat bullying. What an irony, right? But managed to have him teach me some important techniques of non-engagement. It's something like mindfulness practice. And at the end of the day, I asked the audience members if they felt that I have been wearing my underwear outside my pants for too long. Because at the start of my speech, I wore the white tidy whities, the white pair of Calvin Klein underwear. And in fact, everywhere I go to, whether it's India or Sri Lanka or Malaysia, the first thing that they'll ask me would be, Darren, where is that Calvin Klein underwear? So that is like the talk of the town right now. But it wasn't just a mere gimmick to wear an underwear outside my pants. Because 5 minutes into my speech, I asked the audience members, and that was then the aha moment when I asked the audience members, hey, how many of you felt I've been wearing my underwear outside for way too long? And they were like, oh yeah, 5 minutes, way too long. And after which I said, if you felt 5 minutes was long, how long have you been wearing your invisible underwear outside your pants? How long have you been allowing your inner bully to take charge of your life? And that was when I heard the audible, ah. So that was the moment I knew that the audience members understood my message, that yeah, they themselves have been bullying themselves for quite a while. And the best way to deal with it is through non-engagement.
I guess you never get asked boxers or briefs, do you?
No. In fact, I was choosing whether to wear a black pair of Calvin Klein underwear or a white one, because I got those briefs at the warehouse sale, Outlet Park, I think, San Francisco, before I went to Washington, D.C. And at Tate, my mentor told me that, you know, if it's going to be an underwear, it has to be tighty-whities. It has to be white in color, no black, no gray. Right.
Tighty-whities, love it.
So I said, I'll follow you, Ed. I'll just wear white. And surprisingly, someone sent me a Facebook message asking me, can I purchase your Calvin Klein underwear? Admittedly, it was quite a disturbing message. So guess what? I unfriended that person.
You're funny. Becoming a rock star, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I had suggestions from my friends in India that I can push out my own Darren Tay underwear line DT.
That's great. Darren, the high school bully that you mentioned, Greg Umberfield, I'm curious to know, have you had a chance to speak with him or meet with him since winning the World Championship of Public Speaking?
Yep. In fact, I had the chance of speaking with him, and we are going to meet up sometime early next month of November. First thing he told me was, Darren, thank you for not using my real name.
Oh. So
I did not use his real name. The story is true, but I did not use his real name to protect his identity. So I felt that it wouldn't be appropriate without asking him for his permission to use his real name. So I thought of using just a different name, telling the actual story of what actually happened. He was in fact very happy that I shared that story. He said that, in fact, I shared that particular video with some of my students of how Darren managed to deal with his inner bullies and so on and so forth. So he was quite grateful. That was what he mentioned. And he said that for whatever things that I've done to you in the past, it was just an immature act. And I said that, yeah, you know, those were in the past. And I'm very thankful that you taught me how to deal with my inner bullies. It's funny how things come full circle.
Is his name totally fictitious or is his first name Greg?
No, his first name is not Greg. Yeah.
Is your name Darren Tay?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure we have that for the record.
Yeah.
Darren, you mentioned a few times the role of Ed Tate as your speech coach and mentor, and you gave him a shout out in your, what I'll call your acceptance speech after winning the world championship. Could you share a little bit about that relationship and how mentoring played a role in improving your speaking and ultimately winning the competition?
Yes, Ed Tate, in fact, is an amazing person. And I say this from the bottom of my heart because for me, I've been brought up in a family where we have been taught to show gratitude and appreciation for the people that have touched our lives and my life. So Ed Tate is someone that he's very humble. He's an extremely experienced individual. And when I connected with him, he said, Darren, I think we are a good match. You have the talent and I think I can value Ed. Let's, you know, make this work. He has been working with me since, I think, about two months prior to the World Championship of Public Speaking Grand Finals. And we have been Skyping for about an hour each time, and it's once a week until it was 1 month prior to the semifinals, and we Skyped more often. Incidentally, he was this year's keynote speaker for the Toastmasters International Convention. So I was able to meet him live, and we went through the speeches, went through a couple of speech rehearsals, in fact, for several hours in my room at the Marriott Marquis, Washington, D.C. So for Ed, I would say he's a very humble person, and he brings with him a wealth of knowledge and information. I'm very glad that I had the chance of working with such an incredible guy.
Yeah, the World Champs have been really, really great in terms of helping speakers get to the next level and help them with their speeches. They're pretty awesome.
I agree.
I have a couple of questions about your speech. I love the term biological insulation. Where did you find that word, or where did you find that term?
For me, when I was in high school, we were thinking of euphemisms to describe otherwise very, I would say, crude way of describing someone else's physical or body type, essentially. So for instance, we say like, oh, you know, you have been eating a lot of good food. That's one way. And the other one would be, yeah, biological insulation. So I thought of the two, the audience members might feel more connected with biological insulation. That's why I went ahead with biological insulation. And I was also reminded by Ed that when I use that particular phrase, because it's not so often used, I need to say it at a slower pace. So in the grand finals, I said biological insulation. I made sure that I stretched and I paused. The audience members, they are very intelligent, so they are able to guess what it means. But perhaps I cannot rattle on and I cannot speed up. I just need to slow down and then pause for the message to sink in.
Well, that's excellent. I love the term, so I'll have to talk about ridding myself of some excess biological insulation. The other thing I noticed was in both of your speeches, you're in the semifinals number 9. Your first speech was I See Red, and your second speech was Outsmart and Outlast. In both of those speeches, you did a call out to the audience looking for a response. Did you feel that was taking a little bit of a risk? And if they had not responded in the way that you had expected, what would you have done?
For me, I think that it was a calculated risk. It's worth taking. And it all boils down to how you actually ask it. Because if you raised your tone a little bit more, like for example, what I did was, if someone says, I see red, what do you think the person is feeling? The person is probably feeling. And then when I say it in that way, when I increase the intonation at the final word, the audience members, they are very likely to respond. And how did I know that at that point in time? I tested my speech. I went to different Toastmasters club, I tried it out, and most of the time, if not all, they responded. And I had a backup plan. In the event that the audience members, they don't respond, what I will do is I will say it anyway. In fact, for the grand final speech, I also wanted to get some kind of audience participation. So what I did was, again, I increased the tone at the last word, and the audience members, they supported.
Yeah, if people want to hear that speech, you can certainly subscribe. You can still get it. You can subscribe to Toastmasters on Demand, and it's speech finals number 9. I wanted to go back and listen to it because it had been a couple of months, and it was also a very powerful speech.
Definitely. Darren, can you tell us a little bit about your work professionally? I know you are a scholar of the law, as we alluded to earlier. But I know you also have a role with the Public Speaking Academy. So maybe you could tell us about both of those.
Sure. I started my Bachelor of Laws as an undergraduate in the year 2010 at the National University of Singapore. And at the same year when I started, I thought, hey, since I'm very passionate in public speaking, is there a way that I can continue to make a difference to others and make it like a co-curricular activity? So I decided to set up a Public Speaking Academy, which is a business entity in Singapore. And I went down to schools and corporate organizations to do training. Initially, it was for free because I felt that, hey, it's something that I can value add to others. And I'm very happy whenever I take the stage. And after a while, when more and more schools asked me to come down, and that's where we started to charge a small fee for our gig and for our training programs. I did this while I was still studying in NUS Law School. It wasn't easy at all. To be honest, there were times when I had to skip lectures just to attend to my business commitments, but I had a team of solid trainers to help me out as well. Plus, I had a very good team in NUS Law School to help me take notes whenever I skip lectures. They were able to support me along the way. So some people would say that I am a part-time business owner, it's because I attended Toastmasters meeting as well. So some people may call me a part-time Toastmasters, a full-time law student. And in fact, I spend a lot of time for my business. So they call me an overtime business owner and entrepreneur. Yeah, it was tough juggling these three various commitments. And after my bachelor's degree, I thought, hey, you know, since I'm in the momentum, why not just study for one more year? Next time around, if I wish to teach law, I can do so. So I decided to take a Master of Laws at the National University of Singapore as well. And that also gave me some time because I set up my own learning center. And then we welcome members of the public to join us for public speaking training.
So if you've already been working on overtime already, I can imagine how much your life has changed since being crowned the 2016 World Champion of Public Speaking. So you're busier than ever?
Yeah, I'm getting busier and busier, but it's a good problem to have. In fact, what some of my friends told me, because I'm very humbled by the win, and I've been invited by several corporate organizations as well as the districts in the Toastmasters International Movement to go over to their conferences and speak. So from now until December, I'll be traveling to about 10 to 11 different countries to speak. And indeed, it's going to be very, very busy, but it's something that I love and enjoy. Every morning when I wake up, I just feel that, hey, this is something I really want to do. I feel extremely energetic.
After you put on your suit and your briefcase and you have your neighbor talking to you. Is she still watering your plants?
Yeah, on and off. She's helping out.
Darren, it's been quite a journey for you. What's your big takeaway from this experience?
The biggest takeaway from this particular experience is at the end of the day, when I've achieved my dreams, when I've achieved and accomplished my goals, it's to continue to remain and stay humble. And I'm very, very happy that many Toastmasters that I've met and encountered after winning the 2016 World Championship of Public Speaking, they came up to me and say that, Darren, while I love you as the world champion, I love you even more as a person because you are still very grounded. And more importantly, you're willing to share what you have experienced so far. And the other thing is, if you have not achieved something yet, continue to pursue your dreams and don't give up. Because had I given up 4 years ago saying that I would not win the international speech contest, I would not be where I am today.
I'm sure people are wondering, what's your secret?
Yeah, I would say that there are many different tips and strategies to prepare as well as to craft solid content before adding the different layers of nonverbal communication cues. But two key takeaways. The first one would be when it comes to rehearsing your speech, be very sure to test it out before a live audience. And then when you do so, rehearse sufficiently. In your rehearsals, don't just rely on one project evaluator, but try and print out evaluation forms and distribute it to every single member so that they can give you feedback. Though that said, when you have you have a collection of feedback forms, you have to then make the judgment call which one to take, which one not to take. If you can invest in a mentor, feel free to do so. Your mentor would be able to assist you along the way. The second tip would be when it comes to crafting solid content, it is true. Tell a story and make a point because we know facts tell, stories sell. But what many people don't tell you is that not all stories are created equal. And there are many different elements in a solid story. For example, you need to have what we call a catalyst for change. For instance, you need to have what my mentor told me at Tate, use dialogue instead of narration. So there are many different techniques that you can employ. And for myself, I've actually devised a sort of top 5 tips of a secret of a world champion. And if anyone would like to download it, they can go to DarrenT.com.
Excellent.
Fantastic, Darren. This has been really great speaking with you today and really appreciate you taking the time to share with us. For folks who want to keep in touch with you or connect with you, what's the best way? Can people find you on social media?
Yes, we can. I'm on Facebook. Now, Facebook, my personal page, it has reached the 5,000 friends limit. So unfortunately, I'm not able to accept any more friend requests. In fact, I had about 4,000 plus friends. And after winning the grand finals, immediately there was about 350 friend requests. So there's still a lot of pending friend requests that I couldn't, you know, accept. So I've created a brand new Facebook public figure page. So it's called Darren Tay. And if they search, they will see a very good looking picture of me. Of me seated down. And they can feel free to go and like that page.
Okay, and that's DarrenTay.
Correct.
Well, once again, Darren, we just really want to thank you for joining us today. And have fun with this. Enjoy the rest of the year here as world champion. I don't have to tell you that this is a special experience. You know that already, but I'm excited for you and what's to come. So thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity and any opportunity to help value add and to contribute back to the community. I'm very happy to do so.
It's been our pleasure.
Pleasure is mine.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.